Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Welcome to Hollywood Phonies, the podcast where the fake movies in real movies become real movies from fake movie makers. I'm Ben Vanel.
I'm Tommy Dasilo.
And I'm Adam Knox. In Spider-Man Into the Spider-Verse, Miles Morales discovers that he is not the only Spider-Man in existence. There are countless others, all in different universes. It's in one of these alternate universes that we see a poster for Seth Rogen starring in Hold Your Horses, Riding High in the Saddle.
Directors Phil Lord and Christopher Miller have mentioned this poster in interviews and have indicated that Hold Your Horses is, in fact, a sequel. So what happened in the original Hold Your Horses? How much pot-smoking will star Seth Rogen insist on wedging into the screenplay? And how many intermissions can we legally put into one film? We'll answer all these questions and more in today's Hollywood Phonies.
Okay, joining us on the show today, we have a special guest. She's a comedian. She's a writer. Please welcome Becky Lucas.
Hello.
Yes, that recognizable
hello.
Becky Lucas.
Hello. Hey, guys. How are you?
Pretty good.
Very good.
Yeah,
thank
we're great.
You.
We're great.
We're looking forward to drawing on your skill as a you've worked on a lot of TV stuff, like narrative stuff.
Sure. Some of it, yeah.
Yeah.
Not proud of a lot of it, but
okay. Sure, which ones are you proud
that
of?
That means you're a real writer. If you've got stuff, skeletons in the closet.
Totally.
That's the mark for me. I'm only proud of everything I've done, which makes me an amateur.
Yeah. Mm. Your smooth brain is analysing everything you've ever done.
Yeah.
Perfect. Yeah.
Wow.
What writing project are you most proud of?
Ooh.
Well, I don't know. I mean... I don't know. I don't want to say.
Okay.
Right. I mean, me and Cam did a pilot ages ago that I thought was really fun, and I always wanted to keep going with it.
Mm-hmm. That's your piece of work that I'm most proud
of. Oh, thank you.
It's so good. It's genuine.
You. Wait, you're proud of yourself for having watched
to it?
It?
Sure. No, I'm proud of Becky.
And then we had written a bunch of other stuff that I was like thought was really good, but they ended up going with some little shit.
Okay, folks, you can do your own research out there. Not hard to find the paper trail on that one and find out.
Or just turn
shit.
On the TV and you'll see one of them.
Yeah, that's very
see
true.
One of them knocking around.
But yeah, because a lot of writing work in this country is very like kind of panel show based and like one-liner based. But you've done...
Yeah,
you and I have worked together on a narrative show very briefly.
Did we? What was that?
You worked on Please Like Me
many
seasons.
Yeah, yeah,
I did a little bit of work
on
that.
Sorry, I forgot. Yeah, I'm proud of that. That has a good standing in people's minds.
Yep, That's in the pantheon.
Sure.
Nothing can take that away from you. No little shits coming in to scrub that from the record.
But we don't want to get too deep into the weeds of, you see, I don't respect the writer.
Okay.
Because I'm a high-level guy.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, that's right. We're kind of producers, right?
I'm
on
a scenario
show.
Man.
Yeah.
Yes.
And so I'm
you're a story beast.
I'm like a... Yeah.
Right?
I'm a real plot whore. Yeah, I'm up the top of the pile and I'm looking down... And say, you can do, the bits and pieces.
Totally. You're the one that comes in and he goes, how did he get from there to there?
Can
we have a line in there that says, I'm going to catch the bus? Otherwise, people are going to be confused. 1 minute he's in the cafe.
Say goodbye before he hung up the phone. That's what you do in real life, and it's fascinating.
Yeah.
Did he go to the toilet today? I'm that kind of guy. And so I want to focus on the upper levels, as we do here, finding the heart of the story, not that anyone can write. Oh, hello, I assume writing is easy. I've never done it.
It's a cinch.
Yeah,
you just imagine you're talking, and then you just write it down.
Yeah.
What would
they
say? Something, and then you put it there, and it's easy.
Totally.
I'm not going to do it now as an example.
You're a theme.
Are you sure?
Think of it.
You can't. You don't want to just to prove how easy it is.
Let's do a little role play.
Okay.
We're at the cafe.
I'm a cafe.
No,
you're
no, no. We're just at a cafe.
Oh, we're
and
at
this
a cafe.
Is a scene.
You're the cafe. say.
You've really got to transition, like, okay, so I'm the writer at the cafe, and he's thinking of
we're
being
at a cafe.
The cafe.
Yeah.
Yeah. We're at a cafe. Let's just say what people might say. Like, and I've got a little dog.
Yeah.
And it starts trying to eat. You've got a bandage on your leg, and it starts trying to eat the little bandage.
I'd love Tommy to play the dog.
Yeah. Okay.
What would the dog say? That? Okay.
The dog can't talk.
Okay. Oh, no, I'm pregnant.
What?
That's I'm robbing this place.
Okay.
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 See, right. It's
easy. Yeah, you are a big idea. Yeah.
No, I'd probably say nothing in real life. I'd just let the dog eat my bandage. And
you'd start to sweat a little bit and be like, I feel really uncomfortable.
No, like it.
Yeah, this dog's so cute. Like what's his name? as my leg comes
apologize off. To the dog. Yeah. Mm.
Sorry, that's going to make him really sick.
I'd actually got the bandages on there because of a dog bite from another dog who had rabies. So you've got to get your dog taken to the vet.
This is good backstory.
Now.
This is good character development.
Point being, we can all, anyone can write, but us four in this room will be able to come up with the high level plot line.
That's
that we
right.
Need.
Yes, we make the magic, you know. We have the story structure, the Spielberg-esque turns and twists, you know, the movie magic.
We put the spiel in Spielberg.
Because
we give you the spiel about the movie.
Okay, okay, I like that.
So we got to focus on Seth Rogen.
When we're editing this, can we make the spiel and Spielberg line louder than every other part of the podcast so that everyone knows how important
it
was?
And
that
30
I said
seconds
it.
Of silence on either side of it. So but also,
can you pitch it up so he sounds like a mouse?
Yeah, a mouse echoing into a big cave. Okay.
So we got to work out Seth Rogen starring in Hold Your Horses, and then subtitle, Riding High in the Saddle, which, according to the directors of Into the Spider-Verse, they were interviewed about this this little Easter egg joke that they put in the film, that it's a sequel. They haven't gone into what the first installment of Hold Your Horses is, but let's keep that in mind, that this probably isn't an origin story of Seth Rogen as the jockey. We're picking up. There's been a previous adventure that maybe we need to kind of factor into what we're doing here.
Okay, so maybe a horse that was had no confidence and something of like perhaps the horse got into racing at the end of the first movie.
Seth Rogen was already a jockey. He doesn't get into racing, but he's trying to convince a horse to become a racing horse.
Okay.
I think like he or his father or grandfather was like, there's this horse out on a farm.
Yeah.
Okay.
It's a bit unruly.
It's a bit unruly and it actually had ancestors that were incredible racing, but he has gone wild and you need to go
talent.
And find
Tame him.
And, him.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and teach him about racing. And he's
I
got
like
no
that.
Confidence.
That's good. Then Hold Your Horses makes sense because they're trying to get out there and bring the horse back to
and
society.
Hug it to give it, you know. Yeah.
But wait, is this the first
so
one?
So you're saying
we're just going. Okay.
So you're saying first one, he's tried to track this horse down and convince it to race.
Yes.
And then second one, they're
is
a team
the,
and then
they're riding high.
Yes. But there's still trauma from his old life. Like,
okay.
You know.
Oh, of course.
And maybe
there's
some problem out in the old world, in the wilderness that
the old
horse needs to go
the
and
old world.
Save it. He needs to solve that problem at the same time as having these races to
he's
do
He's
got to
go home.
I'd
and
love
maybe
to.
This is even like getting away from the corporate life, and the message of this movie ends up being like, maybe he's better off being in the woods.
Well, totally. Mm-hmm. It's Little Mermaid-esque, as many of these films are.
Be careful what you wish for. Okay.
Well, what we also have to address is the fact that Seth Rogen is in this film and that the byline is Riding High in the Saddle.
Thank you so much. I was just about to get to that.
So there's a lot of we're doing a simultaneous kind of stoner horse racing movie.
It makes me think if this is a sequel that like the stoner thing is in the subtitle, maybe Seth Rogen wasn't in the first one.
Oh,
right? Because it's like if they're emphasizing his, you know, weed culture thing, maybe he's the new thing in the sequel.
So this was meant to be a franchise. Person in the first one dropped out. And then they're
Or even it was purely horse-based.
Mm. Only horses in the first movie at
like
all.
Like it was a Mr. Ed talking horse. We can actually, we're watching the horses talk. And
like a Homeward Bound or something where the dogs.
Maybe it's a talking horse situation, but only through Seth Rogen's eyes when he's high.
Well, that's the thing. What if everyone's like, you're just a stoner, like the horse can't talk? And he's like, they can.
But they're only comfortable around high people.
Yes.
Because they're like really shy. They're like, all horses are gamers and they won't talk to anyone unless they're
they gaslight them.
Yeah.
Gaslight, game, and gatekeep. Yeah, that's what it is.
Yep. Okay.
Okay, so all first movie, maybe it's the first one was like a kid's movie, right? Where they're all, it's just horses hanging out.
All of the jockeys that are on the horses, if they're in shot, their head is out of frame, and if the jockeys are talking to each other, it's like,
and they're like, did you ever hear about you know, McGee's grandson took off, like,
McGee never have a grandson. That's an old mare's tail.
Yeah. Okay. Very good.
So this is a wild sequel, so we're changing the focus and we're bringing weed humor into it.
Yes.
Well, I like this too, because the first movie, if it's all about the horses, the second movie doesn't even show the horse on the poster and only shows Seth Rogen.
Yes, it does.
Right. So I don't mind the idea that this sequel completely betrays fans of the first
one. I reckon Rogen bought the rights.
I don't
He's
mind
doing a lot of that, like, these days.
First film is a kid's film.
Yeah.
And then you have sort of a sequel slash kind of
as they grow up.
That's for the adults.
Yeah.
Like, so the Harry Potter.
Had to sit through this. Yeah. And then it's like, let's see what the other characters are doing, you know, while all this kid shit was going on.
Okay, so maybe there's been like a 20-year gap.
You reckon 20 years?
No, he's
like
saying for kids and for parents, but I think what you're saying is they watch it when they're a kid, and then 10 years later, it's like, here's the weed movie.
I'm
thinking
like
adults
Will
going
and Grace.
To see Peter Coombe play live. Yeah,
exactly,
yeah.
The Wiggles are coming back, and all these depressed fucking teenage, like,
Okay.
So this is a riff on, this is a sequel.
Well, it's a kind of capturing of nostalgia and innocence, because we live in such crazy times that we want to revert back to that. You know, we want to be infantilized again.
Yeah.
But with a little touch of humor that pertains to our age.
Yeah, exactly. A bit of 420 friendly.
Because big stoners in their 30s aren't also man children.
Yes, and they are running from something.
Yes, and the
whole horse race, we make the running from something metaphor, like, really, where all the other horses are named like, parents' expectations of you are coming up for, and all of that.
Yeah,
Fully why don't you own a house?
He was molested. He's coming.
Okay.
All right.
I think we've broken down the idea. So let's. What's the first scene? Where do we start?
If it's a sequel, I assume you want to have the first bit be some connective tissue between however that first movie ends.
And we're saying that this has come out.
I know the Hollywood term.
We're taking it very seriously, Becky.
just to snap into that voice.
We take this very seriously.
Yeah, we do.
We did one of these that went for 2.5 hours.
Oh my God. I'm so going to go back and listen to these. I bet they're really funny.
So, but like, if the first movie has ended with, if we've gone and found McGee's grandson.
Yep.
Yeah.
And he's won the race and done all the bullshit, and then we're going
McGee the third. Are we saying?
Yeah, little McGee.
McGee the third.
I like McGee the third. McGee three.
Or it's McGee, but with the threes.
Or McGee Lightning.
Oh, that's a good horse name. I think it's McGee.
Everyone's
Lightning.
Like, are you sure it's not the other way around? Is Lightning your first name or your second name? He's like, it's my surname. My first name is McGee.
McGee. It's a family name, and Lightning. Yeah. Okay, McGee Lightning.
I'm kind of wondering if there's any way of just having the horse be the same horse across, like, and because we're thinking this will be there'll be more of these afterwards.
Yeah,
if the horse can be like Herbie, where he's just,
well, what if he was struck by lightning and that's why he's so powerful that he can carry Seth
as fast as lightning and immortal.
Yep. And immortal and can carry like a big fat gun.
And when we're doing press for the film, we're really boasting about all the practical effects that are in the film. We're like, we literally struck this horse with lightning.
We went through a few, but
fun fact is that McGee Lightning was 15 horses.
Okay, yeah, so that's where
one
he
of
gets
them,
his...
Seth Rogen, just deliberately murdered. They didn't all die of injuries.
He
one
smoked it in a doobie.
Because there is going to have to be like a... Yeah, we do have to have an explanation of how this horse can win races while carrying a man who is significantly heavier than your average jockey.
Yes. Yes.
Maybe the lightning that set him free, like they were in a pen and... you know, there was like the big like racehorse that everyone loved, and then he had a son and stuff, and like he was all geared to be this great racehorse, and then lightning hit the pen, hit Mickey.
Oh no, a thunderstorm.
Don't worry about that. The horses are safe. That's just the whips.
And in the movie,
the whips are blowing in the wind.
We do use the sound effects from the pitch section.
Yeah.
But then he runs off. Not only like was geared to be a great racehorse, but now with the lightning is imbued with magical powers, and he's gone bush.
He bolts of lightning.
Yeah, he's gone. He's gone. And so it's like this mysticism about like, oh my god, he was already going to be a great racehorse, and he got hit by lightning and survived.
Yeah.
Yep.
You know.
That's this is meant bad. To be, yeah.
And it creates some myths about, like, well, did he die? And they're just lying about it.
Okay, I've got it. So that happens, right? Yeah. The owners, they're fucked. Their next racehorse, it's gone. So it falls on hard times. And the grandson, he doesn't grow up to be a jockey. He doesn't stick to the diet. He starts to become a bit of a stoner. He gains some weight.
I love this. Mm-hmm. Goosebumps.
The hairs are literally standing up on the back of my neck.
Is it too late to edit this and have Josh Thomas doing this in Please Like Me?
You'd have to gain a lot of weight. Seth Rogen
has issues with its mother. He's
inherited the business, but it's on hard times because their number one horse has fucking disappeared.
Yep.
Yeah. So they're doing
shitty mule rides for little kids.
Pony rides, yeah.
And there's like some little like farmhand, like some weedy little fellow, and he sees the horse, like he's out collecting sticks or something.
He's looking for magic mushrooms.
Yeah. No, he's collecting sticks.
Okay. It's kindling because it gets cold.
Yeah, fair enough.
I saw him. I saw him. I did. And he's like, and the old man's like, no, you didn't. You didn't see him.
You didn't see that horse. That horse is dead. Or at the very least, he's dead to me.
The old man's like furious at him for bolting.
Yeah. Right.
He's like, I saw the lightning bolt along across his side out there when I was collecting sticks. He's like, what? You were meant to be working. The stables haven't been cleared out. He's like, yeah, but we got like 50 sticks. We don't need them. I'm a magpie.
Okay. Okay.
He sees him out in the woods. The old man doesn't believe him, but Seth Rogen, who loved the horse when he was a child.
Yes.
Okay.
He overhears this. He's like, maybe. And
totally.
That starts.
And he's like, meet me at midnight.
Yeah. They get there at midnight. Yeah. Seth Rogen's like, what, why did you? And he's like, oh, I was just busy the rest of the day.
We can't see anything, man. Can't come back tomorrow.
Look for him at midnight. He's like, man, this is stupid.
Or maybe there's like scenes of the little boy developing a bit of a friendship with him. Like he goes and takes him carrots and stuff. But wait, I think I'm getting confused between the original and the sequel.
Me too now. So in the original, if I'm wrong.
I forgot about the original.
This is a great pitch meeting where the people working on the film aren't really sure what happened in the first one. None of us have seen it. I don't know.
I guess the first one is entirely when McGee Lightning is off by himself.
McGee wins
right?
In the first one. McGee is like the racehorse.
Okay.
And then in the second one, we open and go like, hey, so you saw the first one where McGee...
We're seeing this as a bit of a recap at the start.
You know, was the great horse and he won and the first movie's just about the horses and whatever. And then in the second one, you're like, here's what happened after the first movie. Boom, the lightning on the thing.
Okay.
Okay.
Time has passed since the first movie.
Yeah.
Okay. Now that little kid who was friends with Lightning, he's grown up into Seth Rogen.
Yep.
Is that what we're talking about?
Yes, because the horse is immortal.
The horse can live forever. So the horse looks the horse gets younger. And like older and just fluctuates day to day.
Sure. Because we have to keep getting different horses because we keep killing them with electric
bolts. Right, exactly.
Bolts.
That's the explanation.
For fun and catering.
Bit of jerky, anyone? Yeah. Okay.
Becky, believe it or not, this isn't the first one of these we've done where we solve an issue by just going, it's immortal.
Yeah.
That's true.
Yeah. Get ready for when we think of what time loop to have.
We put a kibosh on that. No more time travel. Yeah.
Okay, so here's something that I think would be neat that could come up at some point. So Seth Rogen, he's in some way, he's wanting to be this jockey. He's wanting to ride this horse.
Because his chance to be a jockey was robbed from him when McGee ran off and the thing fell to hard times.
Yeah. Yep.
But he dreamed of being a jockey when he was a kid.
Sure,
but
I guess.
He's engaged in the stoner lifestyle. He's gotten too husky to be able to comfortably be ridden around on a horse. So maybe this is sort of like, I don't know what you'd call this, but the way that he solves that issue is he smokes a big doobie and he gets high because he's just... He's just floating on it.
Are we going a bit of magical?
So we're imbuing him with magical power when he smokes a joint. He kind of, because he's so elevated and lifted up.
But we don't need that because the horse is immortal and powerful.
Strong. The horse is strong now?
Yeah.
But
okay.
Seth Rogen is so fat that it overrides him.
He still needs a bit of extra. Okay.
Because I do like that. So what if we, if the first sort of scene is like the lightning bolt hitting the pen, McGee running off.
McGee Lightning
running away. You see the homestead fall into shambles.
Yeah, bit of time lapse going forward. Seth Rogen gets fatter and older.
It's cheesier and cheesier little rides they're doing there. Mm-hmm. And they're putting up all these really sad like little memorials of like, remember when McGee Lightning was here?
Yeah. Oh, they try and have like little... where they, you can pay for your kid to come and ride around on a horse, but like it get one of the kids gets thrown off and there's a lawsuit.
Oh,
like,
nice!
Like they're about to lose the farm.
And then you go to like the courtroom with this kid who's been thrown off the horse and he's all in like bandages, plaster casts and stuff. And the judge, the horse is there wearing a suit, he's like in the witness box, and then the judge bangs the gavel, which spooks the horse, and the horse kicks the kid,
and he goes out the window,
and then the lawyer goes, "Your Honor, I rest my case."
Let's strike that from the record.
It's like, that's bad. You can't. Why did you rest it then? Okay.
And then we so time has progressed. We see the kid getting older. We show Seth Rogen as the kid, like transition from little kid, like riding one of the mules or whatever, to Seth Rogen. And he's going back and forth and it looks like he's riding a horse, and you zoom out and he's on one of those stupid mechanical horses in like a dive bar.
And he's got a bit of a friendship with a female bartender. Like that could be a bit of a love story.
There has to be a love story.
So she's like, whatever happened to you guys? And then maybe she says something like, did you hear about the derby? Like some big rich like guy has decided to inject, because he's going to put apartments up.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So he wants to inject
over
a bit
top of the horse race course or whatever.
Well, he wants to like build the area up. Right. So he wants to turn it back into a racing town to get people like, you know, injecting a bit more into the industry. So people want to move there and stuff.
Right.
So he's financing a big derby.
Cool. I'm imagining him as like a real bolo tie.
Yes. Okay. Big hat.
Yeah. The hat's so huge. Yeah. And every time he walks into a room, he gets knocked off by the frame of the door.
And then he has a little helper who like turns it sideways, brings it through, and then pops it back on his head.
Or he pulls like a little lever that's like on his bolo tie, and another hand goes...
Yeah, I like that. I like that. Head. That's a good call,
And at this point, what are we, like, tonally, are we playing this for laughs
it's
as a
so
stoner
dramatic.
Comedy, or are we trying to make, we're trying to make Seabiscuit?
And failing miserably. This is Seth Rogen's, like, real shot at a dramatic Jim Carrey, Eternal Sunshine. Like,
right, I but in spite of that, he's like, I will still be smoking weed in every second.
Yes.
Because he wants to make that, like, legitimized as well.
Totally. That's another part of injecting money into the area, is legalizing weed and having a few.
And
they're also going to make it a tech spot.
It's the new Austin.
Or it's Austin.
Yeah, it's Austin.
Maybe it's Austin in the 90s or something. Mm-hmm.
True.
And then, so yeah, he's having a chat with this bar girl who's like, maybe she's like a horse girl. She's like got the fucking tight ponytail.
And he's like, you know, you used to be like a great. And she's like, I don't do that anymore. She's kind of like...
Horses aren't for me. And then you see like down under the bar, there's a little framed picture of a horse. And secretly, she still loves
horses. She still loves horses.
But the whole town has been so disillusioned on horses. Everyone's like, if I ever see a horse around here.
Yeah, they're kind of horse racist now.
So horse racist.
I tell you what's become the big industry in town? The glue factory. They're everyone works at the glue factory.
Totally.
Okay.
So the idea of there being horses' rights and them having like a... them having like a kind of big day in the sun at this derby is going to put a lot of people off.
Well, that's the way the villain comes in.
Exactly. Yeah. We've got a villain.
The glue factory.
Mr. Glue Factory. Mr. Clag.
And his feet are really sticky all the time.
He's always walking around with like a...
He's like a slug man. Okay.
Every time he talks, he just takes ages. He just goes, it's like, oh, this guy's got sticky feet. Wrap it up. Come on, mate.
Yeah. He's like a really rich, like shitty slick back hair businessman, and his hair's always slicked back with glue. And like from behind, whenever we first see him, he goes like, and you think he's done like a line of cocaine, and there's a little Yoo-Hoo stick.
Sort of thing. And every time he runs his hand through his slicked hair, it gets stuck for a little bit.
So he has to pretend to be like, all good and lean on against it.
And then he leans on like something and a piece of paper comes back up with his elbow.
Fuck, he's this guy's going to be hilarious in this dead serious drama.
If this is Seabiscuit, I think Mr. Clagg is, what, he's Daniel Day-Lewis, perhaps?
Ooh. Someone like that, but he's retired.
I'm a glue man.
Yeah.
Okay. Glue man. Yeah, he's
But he says that all the time. Daniel Day-Lewis says that all the time. That's and then
true.
He comes back.
Yeah, okay.
And it's not him back, it's this character because he
Donald Clagg.
So
well, and part of why he's retired this most recent time is doing Phantom Thread. He hated being in all these like enclosed little spaces.
Okay.
Like he found it a very like kind of traumatic and difficult shooting experience. So we get him into this because it's like, mate, you'll be on the side of a racetrack in the open air for most of the shooting.
The
like,
one thing that I was thinking when I was playing Abraham Lincoln is that, oh, what if this guy was sticky? And finally I have the opportunity to come back to acting and play the sticky role that I think that's what his voice sounds like. I'm not sure.
Yeah, he's like a
British Englishman.
So, okay, cool. Okay. The glue factory versus the bolo tie... Rebuild the town, make it a horse racing town again.
And in the middle, our hero.
Exactly. Because no one believes that the bolo tie guy is going to get shit done because this ain't a horse racing town no more. It's a glue town.
Right, okay.
Totally.
But that is when the old caretaker of the thing, he sees Thingo out in the woods. He sees McGee Lightning out in the woods. Tell Seth Rogen, old man who's still around and he's looking all shit. He doesn't believe in it.
But he's Seth looking Rogen's all shit, like, Tommy.
He's looking all shit.
If we can go out there and find McGee Lightning...
We could have a chance.
Yes.
Maybe the world will want us to be a horse racing town once more.
Yep.
Yes.
Yep.
So I guess that leads to like a Lord of the Rings style quest for McGee Lightning out in the woods.
Yeah.
Yeah. Who's playing the caretaker?
Someone.
Some big fat cunt.
Okay.
So everyone in the movie's fat. Daniel Day-Lewis is wearing a fat suit.
It's set in Texas. So.
Daniel Day-Lewis is porking up. If we say to him, everyone's got to be fat.
That's true.
He's sinking himself. He's loving it. He's getting to Austin like 6 months early.
Maybe like
eating barbecue for every meal.
Christian Bale in old makeup.
Yeah.
And he's put on weight.
He's done the Dick Cheney fat thing again.
Yeah,
okay.
And also it's a fun thing because the fat people will be like, well, Seth Rogen's riding a horse and you can be fat. So we can put a fat guy on a horse too. But it's like, but you don't understand.
Yeah, this is
McGee Lightning's very strong.
Yeah, maybe that's
struck by lightning.
That's how they trick everyone.
Really strong.
McGee Lightning is like, I don't have it like I used to. I'm not as fast. And they're like, well, what if we make everyone believe that fat people should be allowed to be jockeys?
Yeah.
We can slow the other horses down so much.
Yep. Fat rights. Win the-
it becomes a fat rights racehorse.
Okay.
But then right at the end, they're like, wrong! Fat people fucked it for all of you.
Tricked you. They're actually worse.
Yeah. Okay. All right.
And they never solve the horse racism problem.
Sure.
Yeah. Meanwhile, we're getting flack because it's like this body positivity movie and everyone in the film is overweight. But they're people that we've made put on weight for the film.
Yeah.
We haven't actually cast anyone who's like an actual body positivity.
They're like, I'm fat and I'm right here.
Yeah. Sorry, Lizzo, but we're going to make we're gonna make Timothy Chalamet stack on 80 kilos for this film.
Yeah.
But he's still got like weirdly chiseled jaws and stuff, but just way further out.
Yeah. Well, the headshots have to still be attractive. We want to sell this movie.
Yeah, this is still in my mind a very sexy film.
Yeah. It's the horse, the energy of the horse. Yeah. It's just so the stallion.
All the lightning and the glue. It's horny stuff.
And to be clear, this is a move that will be poorly received in the film. The reviewers will be like, what the fuck were they doing?
We'll
be, on the press circuit, we'll be like apologizing all the time.
Well, I think this is the film that kills the nostalgia boom because it's like, the original is like a beloved kids film and we're sort of like rebooting it and making a sequel for the kids that are now adults. And
it's
this is the thing that makes people realize
that's a great
this
idea.
Is bad.
And if you put everything that like millennial people who are like very righteous can't stand into this movie, the people who are the core of the nostalgia boom, we can destroy it from the inside.
Okay.
Yes. That's you're right, Becky. We've got to register our production company, PsyOp Productions presents Hold Your Horses Riding Man the Saddle.
Captain America's riding the other horse. And we don't acquire the rights for
Pikachu,
any of the
what are you doing here?
Darkwing Duck is in third place.
Okay. And they're all fat versions as well.
And Ursula's riding one of the horses. And she comes last.
Oh, yes. Okay.
Okay, all right.
So if we've got like a second act that is us looking for, or that, you know, is Seth Rogen and maybe some friends looking for.
And that's a bit of a Pineapple Expressy, like.
Yes. Yeah. Yes.
You know, that's where like the stoneriness comes in.
But, right. But yes, yeah. But it's him and an aged Christian Bale who's gained a lot
the
of weight.
The caretaker.
Yeah. And a little kid, the little kid.
Yeah, okay. We can have a little kid in there. Yeah. Maybe the bar girl. Comes
along
of course.
And get them together in the woods.
At the last minute, she turns up. Yeah. She's like, where are you headed?
Yeah. And they're like, how did you hear that we were going? Like,
yeah.
I don't know. I always just turn up places and hope the people are about to be.
Started to say where you're headed instead of hello. Just like, for a
so
moment like this.
So many times I just walk into an empty room like, oh. Next time,
yeah. And so while they're out in the woods, are they doing a bit of mushroom picking? Are we getting a bit of other drug kind of stuff in there?
Yeah, right. You get that Pineapple Expressy part, and like they are in the woods. And
why are we pivoting to mushrooms when the whole thing is that he's a stoner?
I think they can be a really good combo.
Yeah,
they suit each other.
Okay.
They're already high for the whole walk, but then they do mushrooms one night and have like visions and stuff that let us get into the mind.
And they all have the same vision.
Yeah, ooh, when they're tripping on mushrooms, it's a poorly animated sequence because we've done all our budget on the catering to make all these people fat before we shoot. So we've
spent a lot of time in the woods because it's a good location.
It's free.
Yeah, we get chased off by the park ranges a couple of times. They're in shot a couple of shots, but
because they're looking for McGee Lightning, and this horse is going to save the town. So I suppose their fear would be of horses coming to destroy them and the town. So maybe it's like a Pink Elephant's Dumbo thing, but with like horses coming after them, or like they start doubting themselves about the horses.
They have to at some point.
If it's like horses coming up, and I don't know how horses could fuck with you, kick you.
Get buck wild? Yeah. Ever heard the term buck wild?
Adam, have you ever heard the term buck wild?
You know what? I forgot about the term buck wild, to be honest. So maybe the horses are getting buck wild.
They think a stampede's coming.
Yeah.
Right?
It's like they're in this horse town. As well. Like, the horses are going to save the town, and they're walking through the woods, and it's like all these horses are waiting for trains and stuff.
Okay.
Okay.
And maybe that's just a weird thing. I just thought of a horse looking
at
its watch.
The forest opens up, and then it's a horse town.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean,
I was thinking that, like, there's lightning, and they all see where it hits, and then they all have the vision, and then they are led to a clearing or a town or something, and that's where he is.
That's pretty good.
I love
that. So lightning's now drawn to him.
Yes.
What about this? There is a horse town, and McGee Lightning is the king of the town because he's, you know, a magical special horse.
Be like, what are you, the mayor? And he's like, I'm a boy.
They've got to convince him to go racing again because he's got such a good life here in Horsetown.
But do we want him to be high status, or do we want him to be at the bar drinking?
He's got a horse beard.
Washed up
somehow.
And he's like, I don't want that. I don't want to do it.
Yeah,
I came to this quiet 55,000 horse town
to forget.
I'm not racing anymore. I want life to go as slow as it can. And then he's like walking real slow.
That's poetic. Slow. The fastest horse on earth walking hella slow.
And is this only horses in this town, or are there maybe there's the odd human child who's gotten lost in the woods? And
or
the horses race them.
I love that.
You flip it. You flip the tables.
And we see a kid being, you know, raced with a horse on his back, and he trips over, and then a horse doctor comes out and draws a sheet around him and just.
Horses like holding picket signs saying like, let humans live.
Say not to the, you know, say not to the cup.
And we see this for just 3 seconds, and the audience are going like, this is kind of a whole movie in and of itself. Like, why are we walking away from this?
And it's
we've got to get back to the derby.
We got to see the fat men again.
Yeah, I don't mind this.
Yeah, okay.
And they're driving like horse cars around, and we go to like a car dealership, and he's like, well, this car's got 300 manpower.
Yes.
That's how they laugh.
Yeah. Okay.
And they're all laughing.
That's it, right? That's the second act, is we learn about Horsetown.
We're in Horsetown.
And our little crew has to get McGee Lightning to
come
back. Well,
they have
back.
To convince him to leave, right? So there has to be something that they do in Horsetown.
Okay.
Maybe it is Lightning riding Seth Rogen.
He's McGee Lightning is like, all right, you prove to me that you can race.
Yes.
Oh. Yeah?
So they do maybe a race together in Horsetown.
Yeah.
And he's like, if we win this race here, if you can help me win this race, then I'll come with you back to Austin, Texas.
Yep.
And
help you win your race.
Mind that, because then if we have Seth Rogen like piggyback the horse and do a race for a bit, mm-hmm. we could come back to that with the final race. Like McGee Lightning breaks his leg or something.
Yes.
Oh my Seth God. Rogen has yes. to take him over the
and
line.
So they might not again. Win, but yep. like there's a bond there that will go on forever.
Unbreakable, yeah. but then they do shoot.
Yeah, there's no third movie. Yeah. At the end okay. of the line.
So if they go to the horse town.
We all go to jail for riding this
movie. Yeah, true, yeah. Yeah,
we, at the end, we just lie and say no animals were harmed, but yeah. they look okay. into it for like 15 seconds.
Yeah,
and
we all
like,
go Polanski and we're like, all right, let's move to fucking Belgium or something. They all hate horses there. We'll be fine. And fat people.
A horse comes out. It's like, they made me have a spa with them. They drugged me.
The director, like, jacked me off. But that's actually a good thing to do with a horse because it keeps me calm. So yeah. I'm glad they did that. Yeah. But all the rest of it was a nightmare.
That was the one good thing they did. Yeah.
That was the normal thing.
Yeah. After that, it got weird.
Yeah. So they go into this town. They see all these horses. They're like, do you know where Lightning McGee is? And they're like, the horse does a little sippy cup motion. He's like, yeah, that guy drinks. Mm-hmm. They all walk into the bar and the bartender says, ah, why the short face?
Yes. Oh my God.
And that's amazing. The only joke in the movie.
Yes. Yeah.
Right?
And the bar girl gets really mad.
We got to bring back the intermission in films if we're having that one in there.
True.
Just to give people time to reset. People are going to be laughing for 45 minutes.
We'll go take a sip from our drink.
Also, at this point, I want to put my little notes hat on. Okay. And just say, I'm just worried we're going to submit the script and they're going to say, but... you know, have we really gotten into McGee and his motivations? And like, yes, right. he does ride, but like, what else? So I'm just thinking mm-hmm. as an extra, perhaps the girl, the love interest, mm-hmm. the horse she used to ride was a girl.
Oh.
And McGee and her had a love.
Yes.
And when he ran off, that was his one thing that like he didn't want to leave is this female horse.
Yep. Good instincts, but it would be a shame if this fat glue-based horse movie didn't pass the Bechdel test. Very good instincts.
Yeah. So that's an extra.
I don't care about the Bechdel test. I care about the Becky test.
Yes.
I
think we're Becky passing Del it test.
Yeah. Okay.
So as well as Seth proving something to him, there's a little bit of something of him being like, how's Rowena?
Mm. Rowena the horse. Yeah, okay.
Rowena the
horse.
And she
goes, she says something like, she doesn't race anymore.
Yeah.
But I think she misses you. And he's like,
I don't even care. I got my horse alcohol here, which is just water, because your horse will probably die from it.
She doesn't race anymore. She's
just in a stable kind of wasting.
She's in a loveless marriage.
She's in a loveless marriage.
Mr. Ed.
Yes.
Okay. It's a little bit of casting. Yeah.
Yes, that's a part of the nostalgia.
And Mr. Ed's always like, why isn't my dinner on the table? He's just this awful guy.
Yeah. Peanut butter
making
again.
His mouth move. Yeah.
Peanut
butter for dinner every night.
Here's another wrinkle, and I think we don't reveal this till the end. Okay. Or maybe we reveal it now. She's got a loveless marriage and a child. The child is actually from McGee Lightning. From before the marriage.
Oh, it's a lightning kid.
It's a lightning kid.
But no one knows. Because she's like, if they know, like, they'll take you from me.
Yeah.
They'll take you from me. So she has to pretend. Right. So then when McGee Lightning, you know, does break his leg and he doesn't win the race, mm-hmm. there's still hope for the future generation.
That's right. That's great.
And they get together that. And really his story is like getting back together with Rowena,
yeah.
his son becoming the best new
yes.
horse, and also Seth saving the farm,
mm-hmm.
and you know,
and
getting together with the bartender.
Yeah. And the glue factory shut down.
Rowena is also at risk of becoming glue.
Of course.
If things keep going this way.
The way they're going.
Yeah. So we got to go back.
Yeah.
Okay, now I have to see this movie.
That is the worst thing about this pod. Yeah. It's like, I guess we just got to imagine it.
Yeah.
The dream is for the pod to start going well enough that we just make a ton of money off it and then our lives are just like, we just make all these.
Make all the movies, God. Yeah.
I honestly think that would ruin my life if we had to produce this movie and be like, what does a horse town look like? Oh. Do they have traffic lights?
Adam,
or
we need answers. We need answers.
Yeah. All they sell at the pharmacy is ketamine.
Actually, that would be pretty good if there's cars driving around, but they all the two cars get into an accident in Horsetown. One of them beeps, but then spooks himself and bolts away. Yeah. They're all bolting away from shit all the time.
Yeah. But you are right, Ben. We have a great scene of Seth Rogen rocking up to the pharmacy and just stocking up on ket before he goes back to Austin.
He doesn't laugh once in the movie, actually. Let's make sure that happens.
He's going for, he thinks he's serious.
This is Truman Show.
Yeah.
So I guess during this bit, I love that thing of McGee having a love interest reason to go home.
Yeah.
We need to develop Seth and the bar girl. Who would that be?
Yeah, we haven't cast the bar girl.
Who's
that woman that they crane lifted out of a house?
we just find
he's acting now. Okay.
Yeah.
Whoever the most recent person where they're like, how come she only had to pay for one plane ticket?
Right. Yeah.
That person.
What about we get Rebel Wilson to stack it back on?
Oh, that's great.
Right?
That is great.
Yeah.
Or we just put her in a fat suit.
Yeah, I don't mind that. Yeah, that's probably nicer. Yeah.
That's way nicer.
And she's going as well for dramatic, right? This is her chance for a new phase of her career.
Cool. Okay. I like that.
Don't mind that.
Yeah.
What can happen with them? Some sort of they've been, when they're traveling there, you know, there's furtive glances, there's looks and whatever.
Mm-hmm.
Something in Horsetown, maybe. Like, you know, the inn only has one room, or there's something that happens that makes them bond a little bit.
But then I think there has to be a hiccup.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. Where she feel like he finds out she's in some way connected to the glue factory, or he thinks that perhaps her intentions are not good, or she's there to sabotage, but she's not, but maybe there's some moral failing on her behalf, or
she's wondering. She loves horses, and she's wondering, well, Seth Rogen, are you doing this for the love of horses, or because you want your farm to be making
the
money
best
again?
Farm.
Right.
It's maybe a little unclear if Seth Rogen is like,
okay, yeah. He hates doing the pony rides. He doesn't like that because, he wants to be successful.
Or the argument they have has nothing to do with the plot and just, abortion comes up and they disagree.
Don't mind that. I don't mind that, yeah.
Is it something where, the farm that Seth's parents own that he thought he was going to inherit one day and he'd just be able to, kick back and coast on that?
Mm. Yeah.
Because it's going so badly, the glue factory are interested in buying the land and his parents are about to sell up.
Right.
So he needs to revitalize, he needs to put the farm back on the map so that it's making money again so that he can,
Maybe the bartender is so pro horse that she's a bit like, who is this for? Is it for or is it for McGee Lightning or for yourself?
So what if the glue factory sent him an offer earlier and he's just put that letter in his pocket, he doesn't think about it.
Yes.
They have to stay in the same room, one thing leads to another, they take their pants off and have sex for 4 minutes before they get too tired and they're both like, I gotta lose some weight.
And it's graphic. That we show the sex scene and it's so great. It's like hard R rating and people for the preceding part of the movie are like, why is this rating so high?
Yeah.
And then
they
see this.
It's just penis in vagina.
Yeah, it's lifting up your stomach
best.
And just
no kissing.
It's
no
penis near vagina,
He just immediately spins her around and
and mounts her like a...
Yes.
And they're both like, yay.
Okay.
And this is another thing where we almost certainly go to jail at the end of this because it comes out that we have actually made them fuck on camera.
Yeah. And there were 45 people on set.
Exactly.
Way too many people.
They usually clear the set. We get more people in.
Yeah.
We
people
charge chicken price.
We were required to have an intimacy coach, but we tricked them into leaving the room while we were filming this. So that all comes out.
We set up a tent and we make it a sideshow at a circus.
and we charge
admission.
We sell tickets and live stream it across the world.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah, yeah. Watch the
watch
two
this.
People.
Then after they had, she finds in the pants the letter from the glue company.
Okay.
She's like, what are you going to do? This is from the glue company. Are you going to betray us? He's like, no,
that's why I'm getting McGee Lightning back.
She's like, I don't trust you. I don't believe you. I wouldn't even talk to the glue
also,
company.
Also, I'm pro-life.
And she's like, oh, what?
And so maybe the trip back is a little tense.
Yeah.
There's tensions at play.
Yep.
But everyone's being quiet.
Yeah.
But the little kid, that, yeah, okay.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, there's a kid around.
Yeah. Yeah.
That, while they have that conversation, too, because they're post-coital, the camera is just focused on both of their genitals.
So. Right, right.
Right.
Yeah, yeah, just a soft penis flopped.
Yeah, well, this is an art film. So yeah. I'm sorry, but that's art.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. Great. So we've got, that's the second act done. We're coming back. We're coming back for the triumphant final act.
Yep. Yeah. Yeah, we're leaving Horsetown.
Yep.
And maybe this kid's found a small horse and he's just riding with that as well.
Yeah, miniature horse.
Yeah, a little miniature horse. Yeah.
Shetland pony, yeah.
Yeah, and he's riding that back.
Yeah, cool.
The ponies are all like loud mouth.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, you guys ain't got a chance.
Yeah.
You think you're good at...
Or it's
bit of a donkey, like, kind of...
Oh,
Like, it's Gilbert Gottfried's last role. He recorded it, like, 2 weeks ago.
Okay.
And so he doesn't sound well.
Yeah.
Yeah. So the whole time he's like... Get off my back, kid! And he just runs out of breath.
He's really breathless.
And like they only got like 4 lines, so they repeat them all.
It's like, can you talk or like, it's not clear.
Yeah.
Real bummer.
You're panting and sighing a lot.
But we dedicate the film to him at the end.
Yes. Of course. You tarnish
his
name.
Family tries to stop that.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Yeah.
The Gottfried estate is like one of the many people trying to get this film burned.
We tell people that we've used the AI thing that they used in the Anthony Bourdain doco. Yeah. But what it actually is just one of us doing an impression really badly.
Yeah. The aristocrats!
Everyone's like, that doesn't sound like Gilbert Gottfried. We're like, no, it is. We got him before he died. You put this movie into
production. Do you believe us?
You started making it in 2024. That doesn't make any sense. Last one.
They make us dedicated to Alan Smithy instead. Yeah. Just the generic name.
We're just getting voice clips of him playing Iago in like video games.
Yeah, sure.
All right, Jafar. Press start if you want.
I love that. Yeah. So the little boy for the whole film leading up until this is named Jafar. And so people watching are going, what a strange name for a little kid. And then all of a sudden, it all makes sense.
Yeah.
So they're all on the trip back home. You're right, it's tense. Little Gilbert Gottfried is pointing that out really awkwardly.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And they're all like sitting there.
How are you going to catch Aladdin?
It's like, that's not relevant.
Shut up, horse. And they're all being dragged in a wagon back by some horses from the town, I guess.
Yep.
The wagon is sagging.
Cabbies. Whoa. The equivalent of cabbies.
Sure.
Yeah.
And they've only got maybe like a few days or a week or something to train for the big derby.
Okay.
Where they can make their money.
Yeah, and there's a bit of a montage scene.
Yep.
Yep.
I mean, it would be good for like Seth and the chick and Rebel to have a bit of a conversation where he's like, just confirms like, I'm about this race, like blah, blah, blah. He shows her some old things that he'd kept.
Yeah.
You know, and he's like, I believe in the horse. Like, so then she can be like, okay, I do trust him.
Yeah.
And then the montage begins.
Yeah.
I like that. Yeah. So maybe he's got like old trinkets, like a horseshoe that was the horse's shoe.
Wow. How did you figure that out?
Maybe he's got
just an old metal.
A second horseshoe. Yeah. And he just brings out all four horseshoes.
Four horseshoes.
Yeah. These are the only things I get.
These belong to a horse.
And it's a really fun, happy, cute scene. Everyone's being funny. And then at the end of it, McGee looks up and Rowena's watching.
Mm.
She's like watching from the sidelines. Yeah. And he's like, hey.
Mane blowing in the wind.
Yeah.
And she's like, hey, where? I love hay.
Yes.
Again, another intermission.
Yeah.
And then the audience gets up and they're like, do we have... This is crazy.
How many drinks do I have to buy?
It's only been 8 minutes since the last intermission. And now we're having to go back outside.
Yeah. It's 45 minutes since the movie started and we've had two intermissions.
And we send like one of those Wes Anderson letters, like giving instructions to the cinema, being like, the ushers must make everyone leave intermissions.
Yeah.
We will not
There's a deep clean.
And then, so everyone comes back in. And
I'd love to end the montage with Rebel Wilson being like, yeah, okay, so you've got some horseshoes, but that doesn't prove, you know, she's not quite convinced, right? Mm-hmm.
Or maybe this is the turn where, like, she's acted not convinced, but then she goes, okay, and you see the letter, and she gives a bit of a look at the letter, and she's like, maybe I can make my glue money.
Whoa.
I don't know if you want that much.
Okay.
That's a wrinkle.
It could be a wrinkle or a fold in this movie.
That's such a wrinkle that you know what we need to do straight after this?
What?
Third interval.
Give him something to mull over.
In this interval, Rowena and McGee talking is good. They have a little chat and they're like looking into each other's eyes, like side on though, because they're horses. So their faces aren't looking at each other, but they're all side on. And they're talking and they're getting along and clearly the spark is still there, but then Mr. Ed comes up and he's like,
oh yeah, Mr. Ed.
Awkwardly puts his whole hoof around the shoulder of of Rowena and is like, yeah, you're talking to my horse.
My dame.
Yep. My dame. Mm. Is a mare a female horse?
Absolutely.
Yeah, right, you're talking about mare. And all the female horses have big top hats like a mare and keys around their neck.
Yeah.
Because one person on the production staff didn't understand the word.
Yeah.
Kept dressing them up like mares. Anyway, yeah. So, and then you've got all of our little pieces are in place for all the conflicts that now we have to resolve.
Okay. So it's the big day.
It's the big derby.
We've done a training montage.
Yep.
Which I guess is just the horse running in a circle.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know how you train a horse.
Yeah.
Well, what if he runs and he runs and he runs and then it's like, whoosh, whoosh, and it's almost it's almost a blur.
Yeah,
that's pretty good. Yeah,
and they're like, don't do that because then everyone will know that you're magical.
Yeah,
we need... it has to still be believable.
This is like essentially doping what you're doing now. And he's like, well, I'm going to do what I'm going to do on the day.
And the running while we're having this montage, the song is Rock and Roll by Gary Glitter.
Of course.
Okay.
Which plays in its entirety.
Yeah, that's great.
We learn nothing from the Joker. No. Again, people are like, how can you be giving more money to the Gary Glitter estate?
Yeah. And we don't license it properly, so he ends up suing us for even more money.
Great. Right. Yeah, fantastic.
Yeah, I love that.
Okay.
I mean, so maybe that's... Oh, it's a shame now, but I mean, that would be good that he was so fast that they needed Seth Rogen to be the jockey to slow him down.
That's really good.
Because otherwise it looks sus.
Yeah. So, that makes a lot more sense they were than trying to trick everyone.
Yes.
This little kid who was there the whole time, he's meant to be the one who's going to ride the horse. And then we go, fuck off, kid. Seth Rogen's got to ride the horse.
And the training montage, the horse is running, but Seth Rogen is eating.
Yeah.
He's got to get a bit fatter.
Yeah. Yes. He's got to keep slowing him down. So it's Seth Rogen just fucking vomiting up this huge amount of food.
Well, he shouldn't be vomiting.
No, he's got to eat the vomit out of him. Again.
Like, that's him failing. And eventually it's him over a toilet being like, and he holds it in.
Yes.
And they're all like, oh, good.
That act out legitimately made me feel like I was going to vomit.
And I'm like, why is he on the toilet?
He's in
He should just be at the table.
Yeah. And maybe he's him doing that. That's what proves to Rebel that he's in it for the right reasons.
Right,
for the love of the game.
He's committed.
He's training so much. It's causing him physical pain, but he's like, I'm going to do it.
And it brings him closer because she's a feeder.
Yeah.
Right.
So, yes.
And it brings him closer because he's expanding.
Yep.
Yes.
Right.
Yes.
Right.
So physically fucking McGee's zipping around the thing and Seth Rogen is doing the same motion, but with like a pizza that he's eating fully constructed and like eating it, spinning it in a circle. So you can get a little bit similar motion.
Oh, he's got a lazy boy in front of him spinning that. Lazy Susan.
He's
a
lazy boy himself.
Just eating off
he's
that.
In a lazy boy recliner with a lazy Susan.
With a lazy
on his
Susan. Yeah.
Spinning a pizza around.
Okay.
And look smoking a joint.
Yeah, of course.
That's why he keeps getting higher, is because he needs more appetite.
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay. That.
Wow.
God, it fits so well.
It really
it's actually
does.
Actually a good movie at this point.
Yeah.
But we need some stakes because, like, great, they've done all of this.
Yeah.
They're ready to go. We need some sort of stakes for how maybe they'll lose.
Oh, he'll be getting stakes, all right. Don't you worry about that.
What if a storm's rolling over?
Ooh.
And another horse gets made.
An evil.
Oh, there's a second
evil lightning
who wants to.
Well, lightning, it giveth, but it taketh. Like, what if he gets.
Oh,
he like, what if it strikes the stables and.
He goes back to normal.
Yes.
If we keep saying throughout the whole movie as well, like, lightning never strikes the same place twice.
Yeah.
Never strikes the same horse twice. We say, we say that.
And that's a bit of a joke. Like, they're like, lightning never strikes twice. And then someone's like, never strikes the horse twice.
Yeah.
And they're like. Yeah.
I don't know why you'd
but
specify that.
But then
there's
still another intermission after that.
Yeah, of course.
Or is it something like lightning storm brewing and we see like Mr. Ed heading out into the lightning storm to try
and
to
then
get
it just kills
out.
Him.
Yeah, he just explodes.
Yeah. Because do the horses know the horses know that lightning has these powers from the lightning storm. Mm. So presumably every time there's a storm, other horses would be like, I want to
But maybe just the electricity in the air. He's like, Oh no. Mm. Maybe that's why he moved to that horse town, because it to says not as many storms.
Yes. Yeah.
Yeah,
I like
more
that.
Temperate climate.
Yes.
Yeah.
And he's like, when there's storm, it takes, I can feel my powers.
Yeah. Yes. Well, then we get into, didn't we say that there was going to be a thing where the horse would end up having to ride Seth Rogen?
Yes.
So that's, so he's like, okay, halfway through the race, and he's like, so I can feel
the
my
storm is a brewing.
Yeah, yeah, I can feel my powers subsiding.
Seth Rogen's like, oh, well. I think I can solve this for us. He rolls off the horse and gets under him, and they lose by so much.
And it's like 30 minutes of the movie is just trying.
Yeah. Piggybacking a horse. Yeah.
Off the brakes and just sweating.
I can't.
Bizarre.
He has a heart attack. They resuscitate him. It's like, man, you got to keep going. This is the whole point of the movie. Yeah.
And a couple of times he's like, no, fuck this. I'm not doing it anymore. Yeah. And they have to like talk him down.
They lead him back, yeah.
Yep. Okay.
Yeah.
So, big race day. There's storms coming, but like, yeah, they're like, well, just don't worry about it.
Yeah.
In the race, you've got McGee, mm-hmm. Lightning.
Yep.
His number, 420.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, for sure.
They never have three numbers, do they? He's 420.
Yeah,
he's
420. There's 420 horses.
Yeah,
this is the biggest horse race that's ever happened.
True, that's the whole point. So it's to like build
horses
up
from
area.
All over the world have been shipped in to do this race.
It's the horse race to end all horse races, so they're just really going for it.
Yeah.
The Bolo Thai guy's there with the owner of the glue factory, whoever that is. I don't know if we've brought that character, but like.
They make a little wager between them.
Yeah, you want to keep this interesting?
Yeah.
How about we have some light conversation during? That'll keep me interested.
Yeah.
The guy's like, what about bet? And he's like, ho, 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 ho.
You had me interested. Now I'm curious. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And they're both super
rich. Maybe someone's like, we can't have the race. There's a storm coming. It's dangerous. And the glue factory guy's like, I think it'll be fine, knowing that it'll fuck horses up and he can turn them into glue.
That's right. He's sticking his hands through his thing and everything. I forgot he was there.
He's got a crew with like a bunch of shovels and trailers. Like, we'll just take these dead horses straight to the factory.
He's counting the dollars already. Yeah. He's wrapped.
How about he gets his come up? So, okay. The glue factory guy's there. He's like, ha, 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 this lightning storm's coming in and I knew about it somehow or whatever.
Sure. Mm-hmm.
And this weather. There's an idea that people can control weather.
You know weather. Okay, now, people can control the weather.
Yes, but it's like, it's tech. It's Austin, it's tech. It's this new technology.
He's glue and tech.
Sure.
Yeah.
He's got some Chinese Beijing weather. Yeah.
Manipulators.
Yeah.
And they've manipulated this storm.
Yeah.
Beautiful.
We created a low pressure zone by having this many fat people in the one town.
It's created its own gravitational pull.
Yeah, I planned it all along.
Okay, so there's 420 horses, all ridden by fat people. Yeah. Still,
and their fat families.
Yeah,
who've come to support.
Yeah,
filling
everyone's
out the stands.
Standing in the stands, and they just go 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 boom. There's a big storm rolling in, and they're like, "Oh, we can't race in the storm. Lightning's freaking out." And Rowena comes in.
Mm-hmm.
And she's like, "My husband got struck by lightning and blew up last night."
Mr. Ed's dead.
I think you can do this.
Yeah,
because
do it. For your son.
Right. In he comes.
Oh my God.
Clip, 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 clop, 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 clip. And he's like, what the f? That's my boy.
Yours.
Oh, she, that's my. And she's like, no, it's a girl. He goes, oh, okay, I'm sorry.
Well, it's, you know, it's still young. It hasn't decided yet.
Yes,
so,
yes. We don't want to put that on them.
She looks
that's
up
the one woke
like,
thing in the movie.
are you going to.
And fart sound effects are playing over the top of that.
Of course.
Yeah.
She's like standing behind Rowena's leg, like doing that thing where they kind of peek out.
Oh, so cute.
Real cute. And then like kind of goes like, are you going to win the race? Danny goes, I'm going to try. She's like, well,
just
do it.
It's
going to sound like be... that positive.
Oh, and she could have a cute lightning shaped white thing on her face.
Yeah, nice.
Sorry, their face.
Something about like, Rowena says something about, like, I don't care if the lightning takes away your powers because the real spark is between us or something.
Exactly.
Yeah.
They nuzzle.
Yeah, something like that.
Gunk. Time for the race.
Yep.
Glue Man thinks the lightning's going to wreck it. Bolo Man is just kind of not really any part of it. He's just like,
he's just having fun.
He's just making sure that everything's running smoothly.
He's working on stuff. He's busy. We keep cutting to him. He's like, I've got admin shit to do today. It's really, there's too many horses. Yeah.
He's probably got a little personal assistant that's a little fun dynamic between them, but we don't need to go into that necessarily.
That gets cut from the movie. Okay. Sure.
Totally. It's for time.
Yeah.
420 horses are all lined up in a row. And we pan across all of
them. Oh, they're all in a row?
Yeah. They're all going the same circuit. Okay, right. We spend 18 minutes of the movie panning across every single one of them.
So this track is like, it goes around the circumference of the entire town.
It's a kilometre wide.
And they all have names and we hear them.
Right, we see all of them being loaded up into the podium.
And they each have a little moment between them and their jockey where they're like, are you ready? And the horse is like, here we go. And like, they've all got a little thing they say.
Mm-hmm. We cut the assistant for time, but this we will not budge.
Well, this is why we cut the assistant to keep this in.
Yeah.
Like inspirational music underneath. You can see the storm rolling into the background.
Mm-hmm.
The like starter's pistol goes in the air.
Yeah.
But then like 300 of them can't hear it. They're too far away.
Yeah. The starter's like cannon that they have to fucking launch up into the air.
They have like an A-10 warthog fly over the top with like the biggest gun that you can physically load onto a combat
vehicle. Wow, okay.
So, the race has started.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
All their fucking hooves are running along the ground.
So loud. This is where we've invented like a new kind of form of Dolby to have this really play well in the cinema.
And they're doing
And four people lose their hearing.
A lot of blood coming out of ears.
80% of the audience gets brain damage at every session because of the volume that we're playing.
Okay.
Theaters are just rattling apart, falling down. People are watching like just Happy Feet 3 in another cinema. And they're like, what the fuck is that? People are running out thinking a bomb's gone off.
Okay.
And Seth Rogen.
Some guys went to shoot up at cinema, but he's like, fuck.
Yeah.
His pants and runs away.
All the blue lights like rattle back into white lights. And he's like, oh, great. You can see people doing the claw machine and all the prizes are getting rattled out of the claw machine.
Yes.
Running away.
Yes. Yep.
All the
unpopped popcorn.
Yes.
We show that. This is happening in the movie,
It's
too.
Very meta. Yeah.
We're showing the cinemas that have been destroyed by...
Mm-hmm. Yeah. An avalanche of popcorn.
A bunch of unpopped popcorn, and we show that, and it just rattles neatly in place.
Okay. It doesn't pop.
It just shakes around a bit, and everyone's like...
Yeah, because you need to heat it up. Yeah. That's not how popcorn works.
But so then Seth Rogen is riding on McGee Lightning, and because of the thunderous roar of the horse's hooves, they can't hear the lightning overhead.
Right.
They don't know that it's about to come. Kakonk, though. Yep. McGee Lightning is struck again by lightning.
Yeah.
Loses his powers partway into the race.
Many of the other horses killed.
Yeah.
Right?
Right.
Disintegrates a bunch of horses.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Get rid of 100 or so.
The rain is just like, they're like, it might be too muddy to do the race. We have to stop maybe. And they're like, no! We've got to do this.
Yep.
Yeah.
Seth Rogen climbs off. Horse gets on his back.
There's so that huge long, scene.
Yeah. So long again. And long people scene. Are like so tired from watching the pan across all the horses.
Maybe
and
we get
like,
a little...
Oh, fucking again?
We get a little turn with the Bolo Tie Man because he's like, I'm not stopping the race. Right. All my money's tied up in this. We have to go on. Like, oh, you're the bad guy now. Money's the enemy.
Yep.
Money, capitalism.
And so Glue Man is...
He sets to work.
Exactly.
Absolutely he does,
He's like, pay dirt, love this. But he's trying to stop the race.
Yeah.
I guess, because Bolo Tie is trying to keep it going, and he's like, nah, I got all these dead horses.
Yeah.
This is great. If the race ends, horse racing is disgraced. He goes out on the field to go get all these dead horses, but on the way past, he's accidentally brushed past a lightning rod, and it's stuck to him because he's so sticky.
Oh, my
God. And
he's
like, oh!
You see his skeleton?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's sick.
And everyone's everyone's like, oh, it smells like burnt glue. That's disgusting.
Yeah, that's awful, yeah.
So he gets his comeuppance.
He ends up in the pile and he himself is thrown into his own glue factory.
Beautiful.
He gets one of his so lackeys. Burnt that he starts and he like turns into a puddle of glue.
Okay.
But then he survives as a puddle of glue.
Yeah, then he's like a glue villain for the next one.
Mr. Glues.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay.
Mr. Glues.
Seth Rogen drags McGee Lightning across the finish line.
That proves once and for all to Rebel that he's about...
He loves horses and horse races.
And they're like, you came 304th.
Yeah.
You took so long to finish. All of the ones behind you were the horses that got killed by the lightning. But they're like, but this other horse won and everyone loves horse racing again and we're going to turn this town into a horse town. So they go back home.
And then, his daughter starts galloping around. Like, she's cantering around, like, so happy to have a dad that she loves and for him and, like, the family's back together. She's cantering, and then she's a blur.
Yes.
Fucking fast.
Oh, she's got the power and she didn't even get struck by lightning. She's just inherited it genetically.
So maybe we don't even see it during the race, but, like, when McGee Lightning gets hurt by the lightning and loses his powers, you see the baby horse, whatever her name is, like go, and then at the end they're like, yeah, fuck you, you came 304th. Here's the winner of the race. She was a late entry, and it's the little baby lightning.
Oh my god!
Wow,
really
does
cute.
She win? Maybe.
No, I think we need to save her for the next movie.
Okay. Yeah, that's we're setting up.
The next movie. We have to set her up for the next.
Because
it's a female remake, etc.
Yeah. Exactly.
If she chooses.
Oh yeah, of course.
We did give her that choice.
It's sort of in the air at the moment.
But the studio's going to pressure.
To make the choice.
Okay,
cool. I really like that of seeing
the elegant sort of
takeoff afterwards when everyone's gone home and they're just at the thing.
Yeah, because it's still a secret.
Maybe we end on that.
And because they
have the victory, we have the Rowena
and there's
being
celebratory
like,
dooms being passed.
Because they've lost the race, but they. But the town's going to be okay, and they can live in their
And they're a new little crew.
Exactly. Yeah. It's Why is the town going to be okay?
Because, like, it was such a crazy popular race.
Yeah. Okay.
That, like...
It's still a spectacle.
Yeah.
It's still, like...
And there's, like, news media being like, this is remarkable. And it's like, this is the... We're bringing horse racing back.
Okay,
Hundreds
cool.
of horses were running at the same time. It was so cool. And it's, like, the worst news reporter.
And now the family farm is reinvigorated?
No.
Yeah. Right?
Oh, so that's the thing. Because they didn't win, the family farm is doing okay,
right,
but they're setting out humble and they're they've learned that friends are the real currency or
totally.
Right maybe they get a bit of cachet from Seth Rogen like being in the race,
right,
so it's like come and get pony rides from the guy who was in that crazy race.
It's an asset to sort of be a low-key sort of side
and they rehabilitate horses and they become
the glue factory horses who were like scared and shit from being the glue factory and they're all emaciated. They bring them and they're like, hey, don't worry. If there's one thing we've got, it's food. And they're like, we can make all these horses back to okay weight.
Great.
And so most of the people in the town are happy, but however, because now the head of the factory is just a puddle of glue.
Yeah.
Glue factory shut down.
Yeah.
It was one of the chief employers in the town.
Yeah.
Massive suicide rate.
Yeah, we just tacked that on at the end.
Yeah,
that's like the blooper reel of like as the credits are rolling. We see like the people in the town.
The Animal House thing of like, and then 3 years later, she killed herself.
Yeah.
Okay. But then post-credit scene, is cut
again,
back to the end of the race
at
the night. At night time, we see them running around.
There's like a
cut
fire, and everyone's drinking like mulled wine and stuff.
And she runs so fast that she goes back in time and creates a time loop.
Yeah.
Right? And at the beginning, she is
actually the one that planted
the glue factory idea.
That's so fucking stupid.
We nearly did
If anyone is still listening... Thank you. I love that you can't even edit this pod.
No.
Because it's like you can't miss a thing.
Yeah,
you can't
miss a damn thing.
That's the beauty of
every
it.
Every one of them has been very plot dense.
Yeah.
Things change halfway through that completely eliminates half of what we've
But
talked
that's
about.
The process.
It is.
How you gotta
Don't
do
be
it.
Scared of new ideas.
It is.
Hey, guys.
Yeah.
This is unprofessional, but I have to run.
Yeah.
No, like, this is
we're
end.
At the end of the movie.
You got away. If you hadn't have said that, you'd have gotten away with it.
Yeah.
I, like a horse, have to run off.
Thank you for joining us, Becky.
Yes, thank you, Becky. This was so much fun. This is a great podcast.
We did it. Hold your horses, riding high in the saddle. Yep. Thanks for listening. Follow Becky on all the socials.
Yep.
Check out the Becky and Cam Hotline, your podcast.
Yes.
And stay tuned for the trailer for Hold Your Horses, Riding High in the Saddle.
Out on the plains of Texas, there was a boy who grew up to be a man who loved a horse. But the magical horse McGee Lightning hasn't been seen in years. The town's horse racing industry has fallen on hard times.
Well, it looks to me like my glue factory might be able to scoop up some fresh meat, so to speak.
Well, not if I have anything to do with it, Mr. Clagg. I'm going to put together a horse race so big it'll rejuvenate the industry.
Who are you again?
I'm Bolo Tie Man.
We're going to repair our family name and win this big race. We're going to need to find McGee Lightning and convince him to race again.
I, Rebel Wilson, am coming to help.
Starring Seth Rogen, Rebel Wilson, and featuring Daniel Day-Lewis as Mr. Clagg, it's Hold Your Horses, Riding High in the Saddle. Not coming to a cinema near you.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.